Breezeway is all about uncovering initiatives that are forever changing the guest experience. Breezeway's best-in-class property operations and messaging platform helps do just that by helping operators differentiate their brand and deliver more service to their clients. Breezeway's smart messaging tools makes it easy to send welcome messages, resolve in-house issues, share status updates, and offer stay extensions and other services. Powering operations with messaging also enables automated texts to notify guests when a property is ready for check-in, along with assigning work orders to your staff the second guests message in with a request. Combine the power of your operations with client communications and visit breezeway.io/guestx to learn more. That's breezeway.io/guestx to learn more.
Welcome to the GuestX podcast, where my co-host Brian Amaui and I uncover the latest technologies and human-driven initiatives that are raising customer expectations and forever changing how we define customer experience across a host of industries. If you are passionate about creating incredible content and unique experiences, join us as we talk to leading product and experience experts across the globe and learn about how today's most successful brands are setting themselves apart from the competition. Welcome to the GuestX podcast. I am your co-host, Matthew Loney, and I am here, as always, proud to be here with my co-host, Mr. Guest Experience, Brian Amaui. Brian, how you doing, bud?
Proud to be here right next to you.
Thank you. Well, not right virtually right next to you. Like post.
Well, I know we're side by side on this call. Yes. Virtually.
Post-COVID version of virtual or a version of next to each other. So how you doing? Everything going okay? I'm over here in Charleston, South Carolina, a beautiful area. Has a lot more traffic than a town this size should, I guess, because it's a peninsula. But I tell you what, really cool history and stuff. But how are you doing? You're in Orlando, right?
I am, but I love Charleston. One of my favorite cities. They've got incredible food.
Big foodie town.
Yeah. Incredible ghost tours. Yeah, it's amazing.
The carriage rides around a lot of the squares and stuff is really cool. Well, I tell you what, today's going to be fun. We haven't talked to a whole lot of OTAs. This one, though, and I'm glad that one of the first we did is going to be something a little different. It's really, really focused on guest experience. The entire thing, I think, is built around guest experience and community. Really excited to talk to today's host. But why don't you introduce him for our guests or for our listeners?
Yeah, today we have Steve Lastman. He's an interesting guy. Steve was just 15 when he launched his entrepreneurial journey, starting his first business when he was with just about $1,200, a squeegee and a bucket and a dream. Steve has over 30 years building businesses, including his most recent venture, Bunking.com, an online marketplace where people can connect and stay together based on shared interests and goals. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for having me on. Nice to meet both of you. Really my career started a fairly young age. Grew up with a single mother. She cleaned houses for a living, and I was very dyslexic. My grandfather thought I should go to university, so he was putting, it was $10 a month in the bank for me as I grew up, and by the time I was in grade 10, I had $1,200 in the bank because of dyslexia, which wasn't a thing then. School was not for me. So I went to him and I asked him, can I take the $1,200 and use that to buy a bucket, squeegee and a ladder and start a window cleaning company? And my grandmother basically told him he had to. So that happened. And so I left school, got into window cleaning. Pretty much my first lesson in doing a bit of research because I quickly found out that I was scared of heights. But you know what, it led me to hiring, having to hire people, which wasn't a bad thing. So window cleaning led to being in the swing stage rental business, which led to being in the scaffolding rental business, lifts, bobcats, parties. So we ended up building and selling about six different rental companies along the way, and a couple of service businesses, and got into tech in about 2014. And yeah, built a couple of tech companies since then. Very passionate about marketplaces and, you know, just the impact that they can have on the world and really just how it democratizes commerce in a lot of ways. So yeah, so that's kind of how I got here.
It's fascinating, Steve. It's fascinating. I think one of the things that jumped out, and I should say one of our employees at Explori actually introduced us. They, I think, had read an article or found something on Bunky.com. And one of the things that I found really interesting is that recently a lot of the success, even in the marketplaces, has come around these companies that are able to create a sense of community for the users, whether we're talking about Airbnb and hospitality, Peloton in the workout space. And Bunking.com, really, it seems to me, and we'd love to hear how you came up with it and what your vision is for Bunking.com, but it seems to me it goes right to the core of trying to create communities for people.
You got it exactly. I mean, that is what we are, really, is a marketplace that helps build communities. So yeah, and I, you know, probably the best thing to do is to really talk about how the idea came up. It wasn't like it wasn't anything we were really looking for. It just kind of happened. And what happened was, son and daughter, 23, 26, they, you know, they came to me this day. One day they had this great idea. They were going to go to this surf town. They were going to live there for 3 months. They were going to work, play, do all this stuff, till they found out the only place they could rent on a short-term basis was $6,000 a month. So they couldn't afford it. So anyways, I suggested, I said, rent the place and then go to Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace and, you know, rent out the extra couches, rent out the extra rooms. You get enough people in there, you'll live for free. So then my daughter's like, well, what about axe murders and how do people pay? So some pretty good questions. So like the safety component really kind of hit me. So we got online and we started looking around, like, was there a marketplace or was there any place you could go, like where people were vetted? Maybe could you find out if somebody had a criminal record or something like that? And we couldn't find anything, which I was actually quite surprised, you know, thinking about the roommate world and all that. So that was interesting. Then my daughter, she's like a TikTok influencer. She's like, well, if we're going to do this, I want to do collaborative living. And I'm like, what the hell is collaborative living? And she's like, well, that's where TikTokers get together and they collaborate and they live. And so I go, well, that's really cool. Like, that's, I've never heard of that before. And my son, he's a product manager. So he pipes up, says, hang on a second. I never have an office to go to. So if we're going to do this, I want to live with people from the software industry. I want to learn. I want to mentor, you know, the collisions, that kind of thing. So I thought, wow, that's like themed living. So anyways, kind of thought about it for a bit. We have another company called Marketplace Studios. We build marketplaces for other companies around the world. And again, just a passion for marketplaces. And came back to him. I said, I think I have an idea. I said, this word bunking had come up. And I thought, man, like that's like a fun word. So anyways, I got the .com for it. And I said, I think we can start this marketplace called bunking.com. And here's how it could work for you guys. I said, you know, you'd rent that place for $6,000. You'd come back to bunking.com. One of you would become the host or the organizer. So say my daughter becomes a host. So the first thing she does is she creates what we call as a bunking pod. So think about it as a social circle. So she says, my pod's for 8 people. The theme of my pod is collaborative living for TikTokers. The rules to join my pod, you need to have a successful criminal background check done through your bunking profile. You need a successful credit check done through your bunking profile. You got to be double vaxxed. There's no smoking. So whatever she wants the rules to be, whatever makes her feel comfortable in her pod, those are the rules. And then the next thing she does is really starting to curate the people she wants to live with. So what are the characteristics? So in this pod, all female, all between 20 and 30, we all go to bed really late. We all sleep in. Nobody here cooks. I'll order in from Uber Eats or whatever. And then starts to lay out the accommodation. So we have 2 couches, $25 a night, $100 a week, shared room. So kind of whatever that is, you know, she could lay out the accommodation. So that's how it solved their problem. And, you know, to quickly describe another problem it solves for us, we have a lot of students come over from India and end up working for us, a lot of developers. And I hear their stories. They come here, they don't know the language, they don't know the culture. Their parents have given somebody $2,000 online. They don't know if it's a scam or not. They don't even know if they really have a place when they show up. So with bunking, you could literally look for a bunking pod with people of similar language, with people of similar culture. The $2,000 your parents pay is held in escrow until you show up. So that's kind of helps really describe what bunking is. So it was really kind of just solving a family problem in a way.
Are you guys going out to, or how are you sourcing the units? Are you still, are people coming on board with those units? And then people are able to then book the unit, or how are you guys getting access to the unit itself?
Yeah, so we're a marketplace. Anybody can come on. In a way, I kind of describe, so we're, think of like we're a dating app, we're a hostel, and we're kind of like an accommodations Airbnb platform. We sit in the middle. And in a way, we're a marketplace that sits on top of other marketplaces. So somebody's a surf instructor and they want to go live in Costa Rica on the beach. So maybe they're going to rent an Airbnb or VRBO, and then they'll come over to bunking, create a bunking pod, and look to attract other people that want to share the cost, or maybe they want to make a couple of months, a couple of dollars teaching surf lessons while people live with them. So a bunking pod, it could be like, I'm going to get a yacht for a week and I'm going to create a bunking pod, connecting with entrepreneurs over 50 or whatever the theme is, right? So it's literally, we're not like we're not really about the destination. We're not really about the accommodation. We're very, very focused on connecting like-minded people for shared living or shared travel. Everybody's focused on the destination or the accommodation. But when you think about your best experiences in life, it's not about that. It's about who you're with. So that's our focus.
Really interesting. How do you guys guarantee the quality of the unit or the unit itself? Because you have the aspect of the community and all of the necessities within the house, and people think that they're booking a unit and staying. How do you guys ensure that what the people are booking, even the experience itself, is the right experience, that people aren't just creating experiences, saying it's something, they arrive and it's something completely different?
Yeah, so I mean, it's all about...
That's a complicated question, and I know
you're still... Yeah, it's a great question, though. It's a great question. And I mean, it's all about the host building credibility within the bunking community, right? So we have tools where they can go out and get recommendations. So just like you would on LinkedIn, people can put recommendations on your profile. So that's kind of like your first level of trust.
Almost like a review system.
Yeah, and we do the reviews. But, you know, we're a new platform. So how do people start building trust? You start with recommendations, post a booking, you know, then you can count on reviews and whatnot. The other thing they can do, they can go out and they can get a criminal background check done. That stays on their profile for a year. They can get a credit check done if they want. So there's a whole bunch of things they can do to help build credibility before they do anything within the platform. The other thing we have, so we've got a couple of partners that we're starting out with. So one is a book now, pay later. So if you can't quite afford it, you want to pay over 24 months, you can do that. So maybe that's to cover your rent or to cover your travel. And the other thing is insurance. So you can get host insurance, you can get guest insurance, you can get travel insurance, pet insurance. So we've got all these insurance products that are being offered a la carte that help protect both the host and the guest. So it's not like, it's not 100%, but when you pay for that experience, if you're paying to live somewhere, you're paying for a travel experience, the host never gets paid until you show up. So at least, you know, you've kind of right now, if you're looking online and you're looking for a roommate, maybe you're a triathlon and, you know, you're going to compete, but you don't want to live alone. You want to live with somebody else, but you're meeting them online and, you know, anyways, like this is a lot safer, right? Because you get to see their profile. At least you get to, you know, do they have a criminal background? Anyway, so you get all this information that's not really available right now.
So how far are you guys taking this? One thing that's really interesting is, yes, you have the ability to rent the unit, but you also have the ability to rent equipment or things that these guests are going to need. So for example, if they're a recorder, you know, they're a podcaster, they've got equipment that they've got to travel with. And in a lot of cases, some of this equipment's very clunky. Are you guys going down that path of, being able to access inventory locally and renting that inventory for them to be able to produce, you know, radio shows, podcasts inside of a house, or is that on them to find?
Yeah, that would be totally up to the host. And I just had somebody that does a lot of podcasts in the hospitality industry, and he actually wants to do a bunking pod for podcasters. So literally have this living experience where other podcasters can come and they can all collaborate and learn from one another, right? So that's a bunking pod. So yeah, it's totally up to the host. It's democratizing, you know, this whole experience.
Brian, I feel like, you know, one of the things that jumps out is it may be because I think a few nights ago before I left town, I watched the WeWork docuseries or, you know, whatever it was. I think Netflix or somebody had done. But it's really taking WeWork. And I didn't realize until I was watching the story, but they had dabbled in WeLive, I guess, which was kind of this community of like-minded people trying to create that. The difference, though, and I think it's something you were getting to, as Steve describes it, I immediately can see exactly why guests would be drawn to, especially guests at the right stage of their lives. And I don't know, and I think that's one thing we should get into before we get done, which is understanding who, Steve, you think will be your larger user base and in your demographics. But the one thing I want to go back to is on the lodging side, from a legality standpoint, is there concerns about, I rented this home on Airbnb. I imagine somewhere in those rental agreements, there are that I'm not further subleasing this place. Or even I think about regulations in the community that says no more than X number of people who are unrelated should be staying in homes. You know, this has become a very contentious issue in some of these leisure markets, just let alone what vacation rentals are doing to their community, which they see as driving up the cost of services like trash and everything else, and the price to buy homes. But now you're talking about communal living within these homes. Do you have concerns around that legality and maybe users of this bunk getting kicked out of these homes?
Yeah, it's another great question. And I think we have a lot that we're going to learn over time in terms of that. The platform is localized, so we can do things on a localized basis to help the hosts make the right decisions if that needs to be. We did do some, we call them bunking beta pods early on, where we tested, like we brought, you know, we did a remote work bunking pod. The parameters were, you know, between 20 and 30, co-ed, no drinking. So bringing those people together, six of the nine were like very nervous, just coming, you know, they were kind of in the middle of COVID at the time. It was middle of last year, you know, so they were very anxious. They didn't know how it was going to go. We rented an Airbnb to test it. And the host of Airbnb asked for the names, which we were able to provide. They're just people. And the people going, we felt they were really paying for the experience of connecting with other people. They weren't really paying for the accommodation. So I think in a lot of cases, you know, where people are really paying, you know, if you're going to connect with a bunch of photographers for 2 weeks, or you're going to connect with a bunch of podcasters, are you paying for the accommodation, or are you paying for the experience of being able to do it? So we think you're paying for the experience. We'll see how that works out. But, you know, we had no problem with the Airbnb host. And I mean, the people that did the pod, they just had a reunion about 3 weeks ago. They all became best of friends. I went to meet them at the end of it. It was amazing. And a lot of it was because they were like-minded and they knew the rules going in. There was no drinking, right? They're all between 20 and 30. It's co-ed. Like, they knew who was going to be sleeping where. And so all this anxiety we were trying to take out of the process, and it worked. And that was before the technology. And now that, you know, you talked about like, who's our target market. And I think it rolls into that perfectly, because our target market right now is 20 to 30. Target persona is a lady named Jordan. She's 27 years old. She's an entrepreneur. She wants to travel the world and work, and she wants to feel safe doing it. When we did early research, 60% of people that stay in hostels are ladies. And when you talk to the ladies, they don't love hostels, it's safety in numbers. And it goes back to my daughter's concern, what about axe murders? So with bunking, Jordan, she only wants to join a bunking pod where the host has made it a rule that everybody has to have a criminal background check done. That makes her feel a lot more comfortable. Maybe she wants to join, excuse me, a pod where it's just all women. You know, and we give a women's safety score on the exact location between 0 and 100. So now she knows if it's safe or not for the lady. The other thing, when we did the research, we talked to them, was like, okay, well, what's your biggest concern when you go in a hostel? Their biggest concern is who's sleeping next to them. They have no, you know, that scares them. That creates anxiety. So what we did in bunking, when you're in a shared room and Jordan wants to book a bed, she can see the profiles of anybody else booked in the other beds. So that gives her another kind of layer of safety in terms of just, it's about reducing anxiety, right? Making it the best experience possible. So that's, you know, anyways, that kind of led into something else, but it's a lot about safety and it's a lot about reducing anxiety, because the more we can reduce anxiety, I think the better the entire experience is going to be for everybody. So 20 and 30 is the target market. But man, I get a lot of 50 plus people really pissed off at me because, like, why aren't you marketing to us? Because, you know, I'm widowed, I'm divorced, I got money. So, and it's like my wife saying the same thing. But anyways, the target market, like the target persona is Jordan. Like everything we do, how is Jordan going to feel about that? Like, you know, is that going to be a better experience for Jordan? Like, I mean, that's who we care about the most right now. It doesn't exclude 50 plus. Margaritaville living, Golden Girls living, you know, anyways, it's like, yeah. So
it's fascinating. This is, it's a different angle. So a few weeks ago, and I think Matt was talking about him, Chip Connolly was on the show, and Chip started the Modern Elder Academy in Mexico. And basically the idea was that they put together this academy where they would bring like-minded people together to look at the next phase of their life. They were very specific in the intent of the type of customer that they were bringing over to the academy. And it sounds like you're down a very, very similar path, just with a broader stroke. It's a much bigger audience, not necessarily looking for, you know, next phase in life, but looking to achieve something more with their lives, or meet new people, or experience new things with like-minded people. What's your plan right now? You guys are in beta. And you guys are based out of Canada. When do you come out of beta? How do people, you know, start to use the platform, or what's your target territories? What are you guys looking to do? How are you expanding?
Yeah, I think I just want to go back and answer one thing first, because I think it's an important part of the story in terms of, you know, connecting with like-minded people. Early on, we just focused about 8 weeks of our time, and we hired a PhD out of Brazil with research, and we looked at what interest groups are already trying to connect, mostly through Facebook groups and things, right? Like they're trying to connect and live together, and what are the problems? And through that, we came up with like 12 main categories and about 110 subcategories. So if you think about people with accessibility issues, think about vegans, think about language, think about culture, think about religion, right? There's all of these people trying to connect right now, and it's pretty messy online. Like there's a major trust issue. So that's kind of, you know, when we talk about building community, it's building kind of these micro, exactly what you, the academy, like almost on a micro democratized basis, if that makes sense. Anybody can do it. So you can go in, you can create a bunking pod, setting out all those parameters. The other thing you can do is, if you had a crazy ass idea, say you want to go live in an igloo for 2 weeks, you want to check out the Northern Lights. Nobody you know wants to do that because they think you're crazy leaving Orlando to go do that. So you can create what we call as a wish pod. And your wish pod would be looking for 4 to 6 people, want to go to Alaska. It'll be in January or February. It'll be, you know, all these parameters, and you can have a little survey. You know, do you want to sleep on a cot? Do you want to sleep on a sleeping bag? Whatever you have. So then people can click, they're interested in your crazy ass idea. And once you have enough interest, then you go book the igloo and you convert it to a bunking pod. So anyways, that's, I think that's kind of an important part of that, because it allows you to
actually
kind
of that's pretty awesome. I got invited to go do a triathlon and I refused profusely because I'm getting too old. I don't know that I can handle it, but it was interesting because the guy was up in Chicago and he said, well, why don't we train? And I said, well, I'm not coming to Chicago to train for something in Arizona. He's like, well, let's find a place in Arizona to go and do it. And if we would have had the ability to all meet up for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks as a team, train, and then go do whatever we were going to do, that's a fascinating way to do it.
I literally had a triathlon reach out to me. It was about 4 or 5 weeks ago. He's like, when are you going live? He said, like, I compete alone. I travel alone. But when I get to these places, like, I can't afford to live alone and I don't want to live alone, but you can't live with random people because you're training, you're competing, you're up at whatever time. So you need to live with other triathlons, but it's like, how do you connect? Anyways, that was...
It's actually fascinating. I have a group of professional athletes that are coming to stay at one of our houses. And it was the same exact question. The guy said, you know, we're going to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, start running and training. Are there other houses around you? What's the distance? Because we don't want to bother the homes around us. And then we go to bed early. So we don't want party people sleeping next to us either. So there was all of this criteria that they were looking for. And I just had to find them the right unit to stay in.
That's bunking. Yeah. So you could start out with a wish pod just to test interest. You know, if you don't want to commit to a bunking pod. So yeah. So anyways, that's really interesting. Thanks for
sharing. It's a great idea.
It really is. Go ahead, Steve, because I'd love to hear. Yeah. So the plans to launch when the site will kind of go live and when people will be able to get on and start exploring it.
Yeah. So you can go now, you can go to the homepage, you can sign up for early access. So for people that sign up now, we are providing some early access because we're looking for feedback as well. We're still doing some testing. We're live in about 4 to 6 weeks. Part of our team is in the Ukraine, so that's delayed our launch a little bit. So just depending on how things go there, that's the variable that we have right now. You know, right now we're very focused on looking for ambassadors. So bunking ambassadors, people can go online and sign up as an ambassador, which really means you want to host a pod. So maybe, you know, you want to host a pod and you want to kind of get a discounted rate in being part of that pod. Maybe you want to host it, maybe you don't want to pay anything. So, or maybe you bring a lot of value and you're going to host a pod and you're going to make money. So we help our ambassadors. We can pay to book the pod on their behalf and whatnot, but you know, they know that the geography they want to be in, they can tap into their own communities. So that's a big part of kind of our early go-to-market strategy is building out this ambassador program.
Okay. Well, that's great. And the last question is, we kind of wrap up. So if lodging providers want to promote their homes as being bunking approved, right? So that maybe if I am someone who's creating a pod or a wish pod, and I'm nervous about, you know, some of the concerns maybe I mentioned earlier, is there a way for lodging providers to kind of participate? Because I could see too, knowing our Explore's clients, right? Their initial concern is, I don't want any party pods, right? Like that is, because it's been the front page of a lot of newspapers in Orlando and a lot, especially around spring break, it always gets a ton of coverage. But a lot of the same parameters you're putting around these pods would then, I would say, qualify it to be eligible for my homes, right? If I had 100 homes, I'd say, okay, guys, but I'm only open to pods which are heavy, have these criteria. Is that maybe a version 2 of the site, or is it something you guys are already kind of thinking through and building out? Or
yeah, no, I mean, that's we're doing that right off the hop. Okay. You think about student living. There's no better way to manage student living than with bunking, because we manage availability and rates by the bed. So when the student leaves in the 9th or 10th month, that landlord can actually continue renting out the space based on whatever parameters, you know, like-minded or whatever they want to do. So
interesting.
It can be totally flexible in terms of time. We manage availability rate to the bed, and you can have a different rate for literally every bed. And we do suggestive pricing when you're creating your pod. So I think that's an important thing. The other thing is, when we talk about safety, I think, you know, from a homeowner's perspective, first thing is, if you go to bunking, you're going to be renting out by the bed. You're going to, right away, you're going to get a 30 to 40% revenue lift, as opposed to renting out to a family. Second is, everybody who's in the pod is vetted, right? And you can even go so far as to say, you have to have a criminal background check done. So we're a much safer platform than Airbnb. Airbnb is only vetting the host, right? We're vetting every single person in the pod. So, and you're setting kind of the rules, or, you know, you've got the rules, you've got the theme, you've got the rules, you've got the characteristics. So if you want a party pod, it's going to be promoted as a party pod. Like that's going to be, you know, and there, so we're okay with party pods, because everybody will know it's a party pod, including, you know, the homeowner. So I think when you think about just if I own a house, especially now, and we've got brokers, mortgage brokers reaching out and saying, like, when are you guys live? Because people can't afford, investors can't afford to buy townhomes and rent them out to families. I want to suggest bunking, buy the townhouse and, you know, rent out five beds, right? Five bedrooms or whatever it is. They're going to bring in, now they can afford to buy that townhouse, if that makes sense.
I go back to the legality, but as a former recovering attorney, I very much appreciated the, we're not subleasing, we're selling the experience. I love the angle. I don't know how, it'll be interesting to see how certain areas and their ordinances kind of interpret that. But I would argue it's no different than Uber, who says we don't have taxi drivers, we don't have employees. Those are independent contractors, right? It's a similar type argument, just in the employment space. Look, Steve, I think the one thing that both Brian and I agree on is, from a consumer standpoint, the appeal is very, very clear. And again, I think a lot of it depends on the stage of people's lives, but that's true of a lot of really successful products. And for those who are in their right spot, some of these wish pods I saw on your site, I mean, who wouldn't do some of this? What an incredible experience if you're graduating college and you want to spend 6 months before you go to work and travel around Europe. It's just a great way to meet people. And I think we've talked about this, Brian, is I think it's amazing how the need for community has become so strong, despite the fact that we think we're more connected than we ever have been, but we feel less connected than we ever have been in history. And these are the type of products that are giving people a chance to really reconnect on a human level.
And I have to wonder, Matt, if some of it has to do with COVID, where so many people were so isolated for such an extended period of time that they, you know, we did it online, that was absolutely fine, but the need for human interaction and figuring out, you know, which people you can connect with, explore the world. I think that's one thing that came out of COVID, which was, we're stuck in a house, now I wanna get out, I wanna go explore. How do I do this in a cost-effective way with people that I like?
Yeah.
And I think this has been a really big trigger, so. It's interesting. I'm going to be watching this space. I think it's going to do very well.
Absolutely. Steve, we'd love to have you back on, you know, after the site goes live, and just hear about some of the things you've learned. You know, one of the great parts about being an entrepreneur is, I'm sure there'll be some of the things you were worried or concerned about that ended up not being a concern at all. And then there'll be things that You'll think to yourself, not in a million years would I have ever thought that was going to be a problem we were going to have to face. But that's what will make this journey fun.
Exactly. That's the fun part.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate the time today.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
That's it for this week's episode of GuestX. Be sure to sign up for our email list at guestxpodcast.com. That's guest, the letter X, podcast.com. And follow us on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. We are Mr. Guest Experience, Brian Hamowy, and Matthew Loney, signing off and reminding you to always create a customer experience worth talking about.